I don't want to step on anybody who might be getting ready to say that. Okay, seeing nobody rushing forward. I had some thoughts just on the same line in Acts 27. Now, the thoughts I would suggest from this chapter are applications of what took place while Paul was sailing on the way to Rome. And I'll point out a few things and then make some of those applications or from that illustration. You can see that when they're getting ready to sail, they've already departed and they're on the way, and they've spent a little time on one island, but it says in verse 9, they spent some time and sailing was dangerous because of the time of year that they were sailing. And Paul says in verse 10, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss. Verse 11, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than the thing spoken by Paul. And so they left. And verse 13, the south wind blew softly. They supposed that they had obtained their desire. And so they sailed on ahead. But then very shortly after, the storm arises in verse 14, this tempestuous wind that was a known type of storm that would arise at this time of year in that area. And it says that they began to attempt various things to help make the ship more steerable and more controllable. And it says by the end of verse 20, when neither sun nor stars had appeared for many days, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But then Paul stands up, and in the discourse that he starts to say in verse 21 and on, he talks about how God has promised that he would preserve everyone on the ship. And he says in verse 25, I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And then the account continues, and there's a little boat that was attached to this ship, and the sailors, it says in verse 30, were intending to use this little boat to escape because they figured their lives on the ship were in jeopardy, and they thought they would be safer if they could get off the ship because it was perhaps breaking apart. And so Paul says in verse 31, Paul says to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff, as the New King James has the word, the little boat that King James says, I think, or the boat, and let it fall off. And then we would remember probably that by the time the ship does break apart, all the souls that are on board, everyone reaches land, all the people on the ship reach land safely. The point that I was thinking of was this, that there were a number of philosophies and expert opinions at work in this situation. In fact, Paul had one of them, and the centurion had to make a decision, who's he going to listen to? He could listen to Paul, but why listen to Paul? He's not a sailor. And so the centurion listened to the helmsman and the owner of the ship. They're the experts, you know, the expert opinions. I'm going to follow their advice. In the course of the voyage, the centurion changes his mind. And he hears Paul say, I believe God. So one thing is Paul is an example of somebody who we might say in this application, he overcomes all these opinions. There's all the activity on the ship. They're going crazy trying to figure out what to do. Paul says, I have God who is telling me what to do. And I'm thinking in this idea of overcoming the world, where the way we think, the way we believe, where our faith is resting, as we've said, is emphasizing in a person. And whenever you read believe, you really could put the word faith in. If we had faith as a verb, it would make more of an impact on our mind. We use the word believe as a verb and faith as a noun. But really, it's I faith God. I faith God. I believe God. God said something, and I'm going to take his perspective. And the centurion came to that viewpoint also. The centurion didn't listen to Paul in the beginning, but now, apart from natural reasoning, it would make sense to get off the ship, but Paul has said we can't get off the ship. So the centurion sends his soldiers to cut the ropes of this little boat so that nobody can get off the ship. So the centurion also came to take this realization that belief in God was better than the human reasoning. Now, we don't treat Christianity as, well, I weigh out which one works and which one doesn't. It's not a pragmatic decision in that sense. But we accept the fact that God can be believed. And so we hear the variety of voices around us. The world is filled with advice and expert opinions, but we believe God. And so maybe that's part of the answer, in the direction of the answer. How do we do this? How does this look? It looks like this, that when we hear all the voices, we know that God has a voice. He has an opinion, and we seek out his opinion, there's a stronger word than opinion, of course. We seek out his directive, his command, his guidance, and we indicate by our living that his directives are always going to be the right ones.
So I want to take us then, connect that, I believe in God, back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And I want to develop, this is going to be our key verse, really, throughout the study. We're going to keep coming back to this. And I want to look at the next principle. We looked at the first principle, sanctify the Lord as Christ, or sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart.